Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
Our reading this morning is from the poet Wisława Szymborska. A few words about the soul. We have a soul at times. No one's got it nonstop for keeps. Day after day, year after year may pass without it. Sometimes it will settle for a while, only in children's fears and raptures. Sometimes only in astonishment that we are old. It rarely lends a hand with uphill tasks like moving furniture or lifting luggage or going miles in shoes that pinch. It usually steps out whenever meat needs chopping or forms have to be filled. For every 1,000 conversations, it participates in one, if even that, since it prefers silence. Just when our body goes from ache to pain, it slips off duty. It's picky. It doesn't like seeing us in crowds or hustling for a dubious advantage, and creaky machinations make it sick. Joy and sorrow are not two different feelings for it. It attends us only when the two are joined. We can count on it when we are sure of nothing and curious about everything. Among the material objects, it favors clocks with pendulums and mirrors, which keep on working even when no one is looking. It won't say where it comes from or when it's taking off again, though it's clearly expecting those questions. We need it, but apparently it needs us for some reason, too. Oh, for the oneness of that perfect world, aligned with who we are and what in us is true, tapped fully into that high cause of greater understanding, on our way to that nobler world than we know today. In the words of Tina Fey, I want to go to there. Don't you? Those visions of the world, the community we could be if we were living in the sweetest harmony, are what propel so much of our yearning, our hope, our positive action for change in the world. And yet, somehow, our Western culture implies to us that on the way there, we can expect a smooth road. That is, if we're doing it right. We hold up visions of the spiritual life also that are all about calm and comfort and ease, even though any of us who has tried regular meditation or centering prayer or yoga practice knows that it's not at all easy. Each time we tune in doesn't fill us with new wisdom we integrate instantly to lay another brick on the road to enlightenment. Unless you guys are better than I am at it. Far from it, right? Just like we lay the expectation of ease and harmony on individual practice, we somehow live under an impression that congregations, you know, places full of the people, full of that magical ease from doing their spiritual practices, will be places of comfort and ease and constancy. If we experience those things ever, they must have been a reward for being on the right path. So naturally, it follows that when we run into conflict or misunderstanding or disagreement, well, someone must be doing something wrong. It must be a punishment for a wrong turn. And in our hearts, we harbor a fear that change is a threat to the beauty of what we've found. And yet, in the words of Adrienne Marie Brown, our spiritual work is at heart, finding a sacred peace in the present, which will change and which will end. Our first glimpse for the horizon of what is next always comes through the loss of what was before. And it's messy, that loss, that grief. It's not linear, it's not time-bound. It turns us sometimes briefly into people we don't recognize. And if we don't befriend our grief, it makes enemies of those we hold dear. Befriending the grief is a necessary part of being in the space between what is and what comes next. When I was interning as a chaplain at Mass General Hospital many, many, many years ago, I was called in the middle of the night to the emergency room. An 11-year-old had been swimming in a quarry in Lynn and drowned. That's all I knew as I pulled on reasonably professional clothes and arrived at the hospital, groggy and terrified. A nurse directed me to the bay where Soka lay. He looked impossibly small, tube still in his throat, his family standing at a distance around him, weeping quietly. They asked for a prayer, and I offered my certainly inadequate but truly heartfelt words, along with some barely held tears at the sight of this boy I was meeting only in death. His family's grief was a silent mystery to me until I asked if there was something they'd like to say. And then came a flurry of, why did this happen? Why couldn't we get to him? Who should have been watching him? We sat together with those questions, with the sadness, with the terrible, terrible loss, with the injustice and the anger. And on the way home, I wished I had some great and wise spiritual response to why any of it had happened. Wished I could have reversed time for them to make sure he didn't suffer this terrible fate, that they didn't have to live with this loss. But answering any of those questions would not have taken away the loss, its heaviness, its permanence, its suddenness. Since then, I've watched many more families in grief and congregations in transition that have met loss and change. And the pattern is often the same. We find ourselves greeting this new and unwelcome information with anxiety. And when anxiety has a firm hold on our inner steering wheels, blame eagerly claims shotgun. And when uncertainty keeps hanging in the air like a fog, thick, disorienting, hard to move through, the question is, what do we do? Who do we become? The combination of anxiety and uncertainty can put us at odds with each other and with our deepest selves, that elusive soul the poet speaks of. That is what it feels like to be between what is and what's next. Let me tell you a story about an unnamed town whose heart beat from the steeple of a beloved sanctuary in the center of town. This wasn't a cathedral of power, but a place of deep presence, a center for the town's life. In that church building, community took root through casseroles and committee meetings, children's piano recitals and contra dancing, through hymns sung off key, and moments of stillness that cracked people's hearts wide open. Every week, the bell rang, calling people not to belief, but to belonging. And over time, the town changed. The congregation shrank. The pews grew sparse. The roof sagged. The furnace coughed in winter. We know what that sounds like, don't we? And the silence on Sunday mornings began to sound more like grief. Still, they loved that place. They loved it with a love shaped by ritual and memory, by effort and laughter and years spent together. And yet their love and stories and song and history was no match for their needs, for the building's needs for its upkeep. After months of deliberation, they decided they had to make a decision. And when they finally gathered to vote, to let that building go, it broke their hearts. They didn't vote to leave because they stopped caring. They voted to leave because they still cared. And they wanted something to survive, even if it couldn't be that building. Someone asked if they could ring the bell one last time. And Alice, whose hands had polished the brass and folded every bulletin since 1985, said, "If we ring it now, we'll ask it to do the work of saying goodbye. But the work is ours. It always has been." So they didn't ring the bell, but they carried the question of how they might carry the work of calling people to belonging in a new way. They gathered instead the next week in a school gym. The acoustics were terrible, the chairs were wobbly, the coffee came from the vending machine, and still they came with casseroles and questions and open hands. And there, something took root again. Not a replica of the past, but as a new beginning. You might have guessed that story isn't about just that church. It's about us, because we too are being asked to do hard things, to let go of some part of what was in order to become who we are meant to be. And in the letting go, we are trying our best to find that elusive soul, that complicated soul, as the poet writes. For every 1,000 conversations, the soul participates in one, if even that, since it prefers silence. Joy and sorrow aren't two different feelings for it. It attends us only when the two are joined. We can count on it when we're sure about nothing and curious about everything. The soul resists being pinned down because it is joy and longing, resistance and tenderness. It arrives unannounced and leaves before we fully understand it. And when community goes through change, the soul stirs, and what it brings is not always comfortable. It brings grief, it brings resistance, it brings that desire for answers. Why now? Why this? What's next? Or the desire to find fault. To say, if only this person hadn't, or if only I could have. But here's what we know deep in our bones. Certainty is the soul's defense against heartbreak. Blame does not carry us forward. Only love does. Only leaning into covenant with the messy, complicated people we are. And so we return to our hymn. We would be one in building for tomorrow a nobler world than we have known today. That world not built by any one of us. Not built by the loudest voice in the room or the most nostalgic heart. It will be built by all of us, showing up with our full selves, messy, uncertain, hopeful, and whole. The inner life we each carry, our soul, is precious. But it's not enough on its own. While the soul resists capture, it also longs to connect. And that's why we do this. We come together not to solve each other, but to see each other, to listen for what hurts and to hold what matters, to say, even in this hard moment, I choose to stay. So may we, my friends, be a people who choose depth over drama, curiosity over blame, community over comfort. We need all of us showing up with the full depth of our souls when we make the tough journeys and realize something has to change. Realize something we love might not survive in the form we know, and that growth might always require some loss. And yet, there's something so faithful in making the tough choice. To let go, not because we've stopped caring, but because we care too much to pretend things are fine when they are not. We are not what we once were, but we are not done. The path forward can be lit by the embers and the fuel of the past that can lift us up into new horizons, or we can close ourselves in fear and anxiety, holding tightly to what is cracking. That path has to be lit by trust, by risk, by love that's willing to make sacrifices for the sake of new life. We won't all agree, we won't all want to move at the same pace, but if we can keep showing up, keep listening, keep choosing curiosity over certainty, covenant over comfort, we will find our way to a new home for the spirit. And what about the bell, the proverbial bell we might leave behind? It will still echo in decisions we make with care, in spaces we create with love, in the courage to show that we are choosing each other again and again and again. May we continue, my friends, to lean in to curiosity, commitment, and love as we make the hard decisions ahead of us. Amen. Let us let all of the light in to all of the insights we need to ring those bells we still can ring, to bring ourselves together in beautiful covenant over and over again, whatever the past has been, whatever the future brings. Let us share in our benediction now by raising our hands in the sanctuary to one another, the Zoom room, putting your hands up to the edges of your squares, offering the love and kindness we most seek in the world out from ourselves to each other in widening circles, within the sanctuary, beyond it, stretching all around, and then scoop all that goodness back up and return your hands to heart center. And remember, love is the spirit of this congregation. Love will hold us until we meet again. The service begins when the service ends. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church. gathered in love and service for justice and peace.